We're going through 1 Corinthians, verse by verse. We've made it chapter 15. Our verses today are going to be 3 and 4. Just two verses for today. But I will read verses 1 to 8 just to get a little bit more context. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll start reading verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." So as I mentioned last week, as we enter chapter 15, we're entering the final major section of 1 Corinthians. We've seen a bunch of problems in Corinth that Paul has been dealing with. And he's left the biggest problem for the end. What was it? Well, as we shall see, there are some in the Corinthian church who believe that there is no such thing as resurrection from the dead. They denied the final resurrection of our bodies on the last day. And so Paul gives us a wonderful chapter here, 58 verses explaining how and why believers will be raised from the dead bodily when Christ returns. But Paul begins this chapter, he begins his lesson on the resurrection, by first reminding them of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is all about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And if we believe in Jesus' resurrection, we must also believe that all those who are united to him by faith will also be raised from the dead on the last day. So, Paul says, here's what we're going to do. Before we even talk about our resurrection, which will be the theme of this chapter, we need to go back to basics just for a little while and talk about the gospel. I want to tell you, he says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." So this is what we're going to look at today in verses 3 and 4. What is the gospel? And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people who they could be going to church for many years. And if you ask them, what is the gospel? They'll start like giving you vague kind of, well, it's about, loving God, and it's, loving your neighbor, something like that. And I'm like, well, yeah, loving God and loving your neighbor is wonderful, it's excellent, you should do that, but that's not the gospel. Actually, that's the law. The law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law, which no one has kept. Because none of us have loved God as we should. None of us have loved our neighbor as we should. We are all sinners because we've broken the law. And because we have broken the law, therefore we have the gospel. Okay? That's not the gospel. What is the gospel? He will tell us in verses 3 and 4. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. If you want a summary of the gospel, if anyone ever says to you, what is the gospel? In one sentence, here it is. That Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again on the third day. So Paul starts in verse 3 telling us what the gospel is. He starts off by saying, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Now, you need to stop there for a second, because in our translations it says, "For I deliver to you first of all." That could be a correct translation, but it could be translated differently. And there are a number of other translations that there they say, "I deliver to you of first importance." Okay, those two words and protis in the Greek could be, and very possibly, mean, I deliver to you that which I also received, that which is of first importance. And then he goes on to speak of the gospel. I point that out because there are some things in the Bible that are of first importance. There are some things in the Christian faith that are the most important. Let me say this, don't throw anything at me. Let me finish. Some things in the Bible are more important than others. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in the Bible isn't important. I didn't say that there are things in the Bible that are unimportant. Everything is important. Everything should be followed. Everything should be obeyed. And we honor God by following everything that's in the Bible. Okay. But there are some things in the Bible that are so vital, so important, that if you don't believe these things, you're not even a Christian. Okay, there are some basic elements of Christianity. Think of any Christian that you know. Every Christian in the world, no one understands the Bible perfectly. No one understands everything in the Bible perfectly. And that's why we have differences amongst certain Christians. Okay? We have disagreements amongst certain Christians about what certain passages mean. There are some things that you may be wrong about. Maybe you're an immature Christian. Maybe you're uneducated. Maybe you just don't know the Bible well enough, and so you're wrong on certain issues. But even if you're wrong on certain issues, you're still a Christian. There are some things that you could get wrong, and you're still a Christian. But there are other things that are so important, that are of first importance, that if you get these wrong, if you don't believe these things correctly, you are not even a Christian. And today in this passage, we see something that is of absolute fundamental importance, and that is the gospel. Okay, if you get the gospel wrong, if you believe in a false gospel, you're not a Christian. And what is the gospel? It is about Jesus who died for our sins and then was raised from the grave. Okay? The atoning death of Jesus and his bodily resurrection are fundamental elements of the Christian gospel. Okay? And those are the things that we're going to be looking at today. Also, besides those two things, Jesus' death and resurrection, there's another elements here in these verses, another doctrine in these passages that is kind of taken as a given, that Paul just kind of takes as a given, that he assumes that we believe, and that is the authority of Scripture. Because notice, when he says, Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he was raised again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay, so Paul takes as a given that his readers believe in the authority of the Bible. That we believe in the Scriptures. If you don't believe the Scriptures, there's no point in believing the gospel. Okay, because the Scriptures are what declare the gospel. It's not I believe it just because I felt it one day. I believe it because God has told me in His Word what the gospel is. Okay? So we believe in the Bible as the Word of God, the divine revelation. And so Paul here says, I deliver to you, first of all, or of first importance, that which I also received. And let me just quickly point out here that when he says that he received it, he didn't learn it from the other apostles. Because some people think, well, the other apostles were with Jesus and all these things, and then Paul came along afterwards and he learned it. Paul didn't learn it. He's very emphatic to point out that he didn't learn it from other people. If you go to Galatians chapter 1, oh, let me read to you. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, the gospel that I preach is not according to man. What do you mean? He says, I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? No one taught, Paul says, no one taught me the gospel. I didn't learn, I didn't go to catechism, I didn't go to church or something like that. Christ told me what the gospel is. Okay? And the meaning of the gospel. And then he goes on in Galatians to talk about how he started preaching the gospel before he even met any of the other apostles. He met them later on down the road. Okay, some of them. Okay, so we're going to see what the gospel is that Paul received from Christ. He begins by declaring the gospel. Now, I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received. And what is the first word when he starts speaking about the gospel in the middle of verse 3? That Christ. Let's just stop there for a second. The gospel is about something that Christ did. The gospel is Christ-centric. It's not about a general random belief in a God somewhere. Okay? It's about a specific person with a name, Jesus Christ, and what he did. Okay? That's the person through whom we have good news. The gospel is about what Christ did. It's not about what I did. Okay, some people, you may ask a person, what's the gospel? And you'll say something like, well, the gospel is me believing in Jesus. Well, it's great that you believe in Jesus, but that's not the gospel. You believing in Jesus doesn't save anyone. Okay? It's what Jesus did that saves people. Okay? The gospel is that Christ did something that saves us. That is the good news. So what did Christ do? Christ died. Well, everyone dies, Nico, but it doesn't end there. Christ died for our sins. There's a reason that he died. He didn't just die of old age. He didn't just die in an accident. He died with a purpose for our sins. So to understand the gospel, we have to take as a given the fact that we are sinners. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Died for sins, who cares? What is that? Okay? In order to understand the gospel, we have to take as a given that we are sinners. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It's a huge deal. In the Bible, sin is not a small issue. And you say, well, what about the little sins? Sin is not just a mistake. Oh, I ended up doing this. Sin is defiance in the face of your Creator. Sin, even the smallest sin, is looking at God, looking at the one who created you, the one who is giving you breath, and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I will decide what's right and wrong. I will be God and decide how my life should be lived. That's not a small issue. And when you turn your back on God, who is life, who gives life, who is life and gives life, the result is death. So the gospel assumes, first of all, that I am a sinner, I'm guilty, I deserve to die for my sins, and there's nothing that I can do to save myself because I've turned my back on God. But the gospel, the good news is that Christ died for my sins. I should die for my sins, but instead Jesus comes and takes my place and dies for my sins. It's the first thing in the first page of the New Testament when, remember, Mary is pregnant, and Joseph doesn't know what to do, and the angel comes and he says, don't get rid of her, marry her, because the baby that's inside of her is from God. And he says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, whenever we read words in the Bible where it says, whenever we read a Hebrew word in the Bible and it's not explained, you may not get the point. What does Jesus mean? Jesus means the Lord saves. Or salvation is of the Lord. It's two words. Lord and salvation. The Lord saves. So the angel says to Joseph, this baby that's going to be born, you're going to name him the Lord saves because he will save his people from their sins. How is he going to do that? By dying in their place. Some people believe that Jesus came to be our moral example. He came and he lived and he died to show us the power of love, to show us the to be an example for us of self-sacrifice. And that's all good, but that's not the gospel. And if you don't, and if you take Jesus' life and teaching and separate it from Jesus' death and resurrection, there's no gospel. That's what the gospel is. There is no salvation just by Jesus coming and teaching. It's his death for our sins and his resurrection that saves us. If you take the four accounts that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you start reading them, you see that there are not differences as in contradictions, they're not contradictions, but each one tells you some different stories that others don't, and different teachings of Jesus that the others don't. You know, you read things in Luke that you don't find anywhere else. You read things in Matthew you don't find anywhere else. John kind of goes off completely, and pretty much everything that John talks about is not in the other Gospels. But even though each one is going in different directions, talking about different things in Jesus' ministry, all four, at the end, meet together and end the exact same way, which is his death, burial, and resurrection. Because that is the gospel. There are some people who've suggested that the four accounts that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are basically the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection with long introductions. Okay? That the whole point of those books is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Everything else is an introduction to get to that. Because if you cut off that, it's not a gospel. It's not a gospel. If you just have this and not the end of the story, it's not a gospel. The gospel is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. Just as a quick side note. You know how so often people find out, oh, I heard that they found this thing they call the Gospel of Thomas, or the Gospel of Judas, or the Gospel of Peter, or whatever. You know, they find random books and people freak out as though, oh no, you know, what's going on here? And of course, these books are mostly heretical, Gnostic books from 2nd, 3rd, 4th century and stuff like that. They have nothing to do with eyewitnesses or anything like that. But most of these books, like if you take the Gospel of Thomas, for example, which is a 2nd century writing, it's a number of sayings supposedly from Jesus. It's supposed to be things that Jesus said. Okay? And that's it. There is no reference to his death or resurrection. Okay? And most of these books don't talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. So, by definition, we shouldn't be calling them Gospels. We shouldn't call them the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas, and so forth, because they're not Gospels. If they don't talk about Jesus' death for our sins and resurrection, it's not a gospel. Okay, that was just a quick side note there about those weird books. So, Paul says, here's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. And he says, according to the scriptures. This is not something that came up in the New Testament. The entirety of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. And that's his point. Okay? And we could look at a ton of scriptures from the Old Testament that talk about Jesus' death. You go to Psalm 22, which talks about how his hands and his feet are pierced, how they're throwing lots for his clothing. The entire psalm is all about Jesus' crucifixion, written 1,000 years earlier. Moves, of course, Isaiah 53, that we should all know. Isaiah 53, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then there's the entirety of the Old Testament sacrificial system. When you would bring an animal to be sacrificed, you brought it to the priest, and you would place your hands on the animal, and you were symbolically transferring your sins to the animal, and then they killed it. was dying for your sins. But that was symbolically, because we know that the blood of bulls and goats don't take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the true Lamb of God, He is our substitute that takes our sins and dies for them. This is all in the Old Testament as a picture of Christ who died for our sins. Verse 4. And, so He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and, verse 4, He was buried. This is important because it stresses the fact that He actually died. Okay? So, because when we're talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, some people may be like, oh, well, maybe it's just some kind of metaphorical, maybe in some kind of poetic sense, Jesus died and was raised, like the phoenix rising from the ashes or something. Maybe it's about renewing Himself in some way. No, this isn't talking about some kind of spiritual, metaphysical. The man died, physically died, and they put Him in the grave. Okay, when it says He was buried, it's to point out that we're talking about an actual body that actually went into a tomb. He really died and then was really raised. The tomb was empty. He came out of it. Okay? So this is just to stress the actuality, the reality of His physical death and resurrection. So, He was buried, verse 4, and He rose again the third day. Yes, we should talk about Jesus' death on the cross, because that's how He paid for our sins. But we don't stop there. We can't just end there. That's incomplete. Because Jesus died and was buried and was raised. And it would be a better translation if, because here it says, He rose again the third day. But a better translation would be, He has been raised. There's a difference. Because has been raised, that's how it is in the Greek, He has been raised, implies that He's still alive. Okay? It's not that He rose once and then died again. He has risen. Okay? So He's still alive. Why is the resurrection so important? Well, when Jesus was crucified, the people that crucified Him believed that He deserved it. They thought He was a blasphemer. They thought He was a crook and a sinner. And so He deserves to die. And so they crucified Him. But God vindicates Jesus, shows that Jesus is true, by not letting them win, so to speak, but raising Him from the dead. You killed Him, but God raised Him from the dead. His resurrection is proof that He is approved of God. His resurrection is proof that the sacrifice that He did is acceptable. If He just died and that's it, we'd be like, well, now what? What happened? But the fact that He is risen means that God accepted what He did. Jesus' resurrection proves that everything that He ever said and did was true. Okay? In Romans 1, it says that we know that Jesus is the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. We know that He's the Son of God because He rose from the dead. His resurrection proves that He is the Son of God, that He's the Messiah, that He's the Savior. And again, Paul repeats, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, we could go on now with a ton of Scriptures to talk about Jesus' resurrection. Let me just give you one. If you remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes Psalm 16. It's a psalm that David wrote. And in Psalm 16, David says, "You will not leave my soul in Hades. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." Okay? And the point that Peter made was, when David wrote that 1,000 years ago, he could not have been talking about himself. Because if it was just the first line where it says, "You will not leave my soul in Hades," You could say, well, that simply means that one day he'll be raised, right? So it could apply to David. I mean, David will be raised on the last day. All the people of God will be raised on the last day. So it could be applying to him, but it doesn't end there. It says, you will not leave my soul in Hades. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. So this one who is going to be raised is going to be raised before seeing corruption. And the point that Peter makes is, he can't be talking about David. David is rotting away in his tomb. He's been rotting away for 1,000 years. He's just dust. So it can't be talking about him. He's talking about someone who goes into the grave and comes out without being corrupted. And he says, that's Jesus. So you have prophecies, and there's a number of other prophecies about Christ's resurrection. There's types like Jonah, who went into the belly of the fish for 3 days, then came out alive, and all these things. We could go on. But this is a summary of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the 3rd day according to the scriptures. If anyone ever asks you, what is the gospel? This is where you go. Okay? I'll give it to you in a minute. In one sentence. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again the 3rd day. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, this chapter that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Like I said, it's all about the resurrection of believers on the last day. That's what the chapter is about. But the reason that you and I will be raised from the dead on the last day is what? It's the gospel. The only reason that you're going to be raised from the dead is because Jesus died for your sins. The only reason you're going to be raised from the dead is because Jesus died for your sins and rose. And if you are united to him, you will also rise. That is the gospel. I'll close. But there are many preachers who will tell you, who will tell you things to get you emotional, to get you sentimental, to get you, you know, Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to inspire you. Jesus loves you and wants to be an example for you. And don't get me wrong, all those things are true. I'm not saying they're not true. But all of those things that I just said would be impossible if he didn't die for your sins and rise again from the dead. Without this, you have nothing. Everything else comes after this. Remember what Paul said in the beginning of the book? He said, when I came to you, I made sure that I would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not that he never spoke about other things, but this is the center. This is the foundation. This is where we start. If you don't know anything else about Christianity, you need to know this. This is where we begin. This is of first importance. This is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and was buried and was raised according to the scriptures. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.